Butterflies with tights on, babe.
Imagine being told you are brave enough to die for a country, but too dangerous to carry a gun. Imagine being sent to the front lines of a war, then stripped of your weapons and handed what? A flute? A drum? Or a trumpet? And these men said, okay, bet. That's all right. I can make that a weapon too. Now the history books, they're going to tell you a marching band started on a football field at halftime. But you know how his story does, right? It didn't start with touchdowns and such. It started with a restriction. It started with fear. It started with the only way they let black men serve in the 1700s was if their hands were occupied by brass instruments and not bullets. So, the military was terrified of black men with a rifle. So they stripped the weapons from those men's hands and replaced them with brass and cold iron conduit poles. The poles that you see, not many bands have those anymore. The poles that are the flags, now they have fiberglass, the shorter poles. Because they're lighter, easier to carry, by the way. I was a flag girl, captain of the flags. And when we marched, we still had the iron conduit poles. Because they weren't initially meant for women. They started with men. And I gotta tell you, listen, the men are the one who, in their rebellion, made it flashy. Now, they tried to relegate our ancestors to the background noise of the war. Now, you know our brothers. They wanted them to be dull. They wanted them to be invisible. That wasn't going to happen. Because here's what they didn't count on. You can take away a gun. All a gun can do is kill. That's all a gun can do. Kill and destroy. But you cannot take away soul. Those men took those instruments, those clumsy poles, and they did something the world wasn't prepared for. Something some people are like, I came to see halftime to this day. They didn't just march. They performed. They showed out. They didn't just carry a flag. They commanded it. They turned a military restriction. Do you hear me? They turned a military restriction into a masterclass of style, poise, and a brand of dignity. Because what I didn't tell you, this is during the parades. Because the military would go and fight. And there's dignity and honor in protecting your country. Much of my family are veterans. So I am definitely going to put love, respect, honor on that. So much. I'm speaking of those men having gone and done all of those same things every other man did. So imagine being a soldier. Think of what a soldier does. The meaning of a soldier. Many of us are connected to soldiers and told you aren't fit to perform for who others feel are the real soldiers. And in that time, now let's think back, there wasn't the honor that was placed on performance that they placed on it for us. Thank you very much. Most people would have just gone through the motions, walked down the street, maybe not even in sync. with one another, but not our ancestors. They practiced a different kind of rebellion. All of that, that is why when you see the bands, that high stepping, can't you see the rebellion in that? Being in sync. Look at those movements, the sharpness, the precision, all of that. They took the manual of arms, those stiff robotic movements, and they infused them with rhythmic swagger. Oh, you're gonna see me today. When they come to the parade, you mean for them not to see me. You mean for me to serve the other soldiers that I served with, but they're gonna see me today. They turn the grip of a heavy conduit pole into a display of immense physical strength and grace. Those flags, they flew proud. Now, when they stepped out, they weren't just the band. They became what we do now with black bands at halftime, in the parades, wherever you go. On Survivor Affirmations, that is who we chose to give honor to, Richard Smallwood, and said, thank you, sir. They became the standard. They polished their brass before the parade or whatever performance it was until it blinded the sun. They moved with a synchronization so precise. It made anything else look sloppy if it couldn't come up to their standard. You thought I was going to have to meet your standard? No, you got to meet mine. And the music. This wasn't just music. It's a psychological uprising. It was a way of saying, you can deny me a bullet, all a bullet, but you will never match. I want you to match my brilliance. So when you see people, as we say, showing out, when you see those drum majors, my brother was a drum major. My little brother was a drum major. I told y'all, we used to have dance contests in our bedroom. And y'all may have laughed. They had dance contests. My brother became the drum major. My short brother was a high stepper. The ultimate high stepper. Brilliance. And speaking of high stepper, now this is where the high step comes from. Knees to your chest. This is where the power spin comes from. Those early flag bearers, they were men hauling literal metal conduit. They showed us how to do it. It was heavy. It was punishing. But you never drag it. You never show that it's heavy. You snap it. You spin it with a force that spoke of power that you were forbidden because you were forbidden. You own that pavement. People hear you from a mile away. They're overlooking others that come before you to look and see who's playing that. Who's playing that music? Who's playing that song? And they show the world a level of poise and cool that redefined what it meant to be a man in uniform. Whatever you take will redefine that too. So when you see an HBCU band today, when you see those flags slicing through the air, you hear that whip. When you hear that brass playing one of your favorite songs, don't just think of it as entertainment. It's rebellion. It's history. When you see your favorite high school band reaching up to be like that HBCU as we were doing, think about the men who were told to stay in the back, get in the back and serve these honorable men like they weren't honorable men. But they decided that's fine, but we're going to lead. They took the tools of their exclusion and built a monument to black dignity. They took the tools of their exclusion and built a monument to black dignity. Don't ever let nobody try to make you dull. You become electrifying. And since this is extended Black History Month, Melanin March, I need to talk about women who helped me march. As I was marching in cities that weren't mine, but they were calling us the N-word, as they were sending death threats to us ahead of us coming, just coming to the Friday night football, and we were getting death threats. I need to tell you about Ann Mickens, because when I turned, I would always, if I got flustered, I would turn to my left. To the left means something very different to me, because this was late 1980s, and like I said, they were going to the testify before Congress, talking about how nasty and dirty the music was. And hey, all I knew is I couldn't listen to certain songs, and I didn't hear the songs at the same time other people did. And to this day, I'm still hearing songs that maybe others heard that I didn't hear, because I was not allowed to bring certain cassette tapes or songs into my mama's house, my grandma's house, my auntie's house, my cousin's house. You better not. If you're visiting with your friends, you better not. If you're in the car with them, you better not. Because they just, no. It just, no. So, I, at the time, I didn't know about such things. But I did know that as we were marching down the street, we was called certain words. And I would look over to my left, and one of the women that I would see dress so distinctly, wearing white gloves and head high, she was my lighthouse, Annie M. Mickens. She's an educator. In fact, she taught me, I believe, Algebra 2 and Geometry. Algebra 2 and Geometry, she taught me. And she was also the sponsor for the Flaggers. Annie M. Mickens stands as a cornerstone of leadership and civic devotion in Petersburg, Virginia. You may not know, but Petersburg, Virginia is a Civil War. There's the Battle of Petersburg. But she's a career educator by trade. She's a public servant. She also served on the city council, and she was our mayor. She was the mayor after I graduated. And I wasn't surprised, not the least little bit. She lived this. We don't speak for people who have no voice. They have a voice. She lived that. She's an enduring influence. Miss Annie Mickens, when I turned to my left and I saw that short lady, because me and her were about the same height. I'm short. We were about the same height. And I saw that woman and I would turn. She's always there. She and our band director, David Chambliss. And she was there. I don't know if she knows, but she was my lighthouse. I'm getting goosebumps. To see that short woman, still head high, no matter what, and I knew they were saying things to her, too. Because they're doing it on both sides. I knew, keep marching, keep stepping. Girl, you keep stepping. That's what you do. And the boots I was stepping in, they were purchased by Argentine Jackson Hansen. Tina Hansen, who's a teacher now. That's my aunt. She's a dedicated public servant all my life. And an advocate whose career, the whole time, that's what she's done. She's dedicated to local human rights. Those boots were expensive to the point where it was in danger of, even though I made the squad, I was very much in danger of not being able to march. And my aunt saw to it that I had those white knee-high leather boots and told me, you make sure you march. You make sure you march. You make sure you make us proud. She came to the games and yelled my name. She came to the parades and she yelled my name. And so I wasn't not going to go out there when it was safe for us and the call wasn't, you know, it wasn't such that they had to care, you know, that we were pulled from the game because the threat was so high. Often we went, but if the threat was too high, you know, we just didn't go. But I made sure I was there. So it's like, why go? I went in the boots my aunt paid for, because she had to go through her own thing. She's a light-skinned black woman who went through her own colorism, who went, and at the same time went through Jim Crow, survived Jim Crow. Now I was going to march in the boots she bought for me. I'm just so grateful and thankful, because none of us gets where we are by ourselves. And like I said, the boots I marched in, Miss Annie Mickens to my left, all those people spurred me through. The men who paved the way for everybody that paved my way of how to shine, how to march through, even as people are placing obstacles in front of you. I thank you. So much gratitude. So much gratitude. So much gratitude. Y'all be great, and I encourage you that as we continue to celebrate our Black history, look around at all who have paved roads for you, all who lit that pavement up for you, and be thankful. All right, y'all, be great. Thanks for listening.
This is Tanya GJ Prince. Thanks for listening. Y'all be great.